No! Well, 10 beers.
My advice to you, start drinking heavy. I'm getting another beer. You want one?
Now, whose ass I gotta kiss to get myself a beer?
Welcome to Big Foamy Head, show 23.
And this is the Liney Beer Show?
Leinenkugels.
Sure, why not? Okay.
We don't have a great name for today's show.
Yeah. But, it may say something different on the website by the time we get around to it.
And you'll probably see show 23 before you see show 22.
That's right.
That's because show 22 has such a massive amount of wonderful content.
Yes.
It's just taking a little while to get put together.
That's right. Our friend Joe Galea, who we played before, did an interview with us, and we spent quite a lot of time, which seemed like not enough after it was all said and done. And we've been getting the music in to put the show together. So it's coming your way soon. But in the meantime, we're putting show 23 ahead.
So this is the second selection of beer that I got in Wisconsin, and
right.
We talked about the other selection in the previous show.
Yeah.
So look forward to that. But Leinenkugel's is the seventh oldest brewery in the United States.
Right.
It was started in 1987. And 137 years and five generations later, they're still going.
And something I want to point out about the very fact that we're doing Leinenkugel's, because depending on where you live in the country, you might say, well, Leinenkugel's, let's get that in a grocery store, right?
Right.
But the thing is, this is good beer. It isn't like some of the other giant conglomo beers, right? These people brew a lot of beer, but they do a good job, and I think they're representative of what you can be a larger brewery and still deliver a quality product.
They merged with Miller Brewing in 1988, so they are technically part of Miller Brewing.
Well, okay.
The second largest brewer in the world.
Oh, man.
But, you know, from what I hear from the folks up in Wisconsin, Liney's were not a great beer, but
really?
I think they've really done a lot to turn themselves around.
Hmm.
So,
well, now, you know, to me, because I've never had it until I go somewhere else, it was always pretty good beer. I'm shocked to learn they're part of Miller. Well, hey, you know, more power to Miller then. Their stock just went up a little bit in my book. Yeah,
it's not brewed in Milwaukee. It's brewed, you know, in
Chippewa Falls
where they started 137 years ago. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, right now they have 7 year-round and 3 seasonal brews.
Okay.
And it's distributed in over 27 states, primarily in the upper Midwest. And they do distribute in Tennessee, which surprised me.
Well, not here, or I have not seen it.
We have a little map. They have a distributor in Tennessee.
They show us in the red state. We're drinking Honey Weiss.
We're starting off with the Honey Weiss.
And Honey Weiss beer.
The description on the website says, selected malt wheat, cluster hops, and a hint of Wisconsin honey give this unique refresher a clean, crisp, slightly sweet taste. So
right.
I kind of wanted this as our first beer because it's kind of light. And, you know.
Yeah, it's very good. Very good. It's a wheat beer.
It's won awards. Fastest growing brand has been buzzed about since its creation in 1995. It's available year-round. It's a wheat and pale hops cluster, alcohol by content 4.9%, and serve well-chilled at 45 degrees.
Which we're doing enjoying.
And what do you think?
I think it's very good. And we've got 5 beers today. Our next one coming up is the Leinenkugel. And before we get too far along, I want to point out, if you have not been to the site, please do visit the site. And those of you that have been to the site will notice there's a brand new look. And we have a little mascot there called the Beer Guy. And go to the website, take a look. You can also buy Big Foamy Head t-shirts and mugs. And I'm looking at one of the mugs, beer steins now. We bought a couple of shirts ourselves. And who knows what we'll do down the road. We'll probably end up giving away some here and there. The other thing is we have got a link to our MySpace site, which is something we're developing out, just like all the other podcasts around here and musical groups, trying to spread the word a little bit. We've also officially signed up with the Drunken Podcasting Federation, and we couldn't be prouder of that. So the
one
labels,
of 3 charter members, I believe.
That's right. That's right. We're one of the 3s, along with the folks at Pull With Both Hands and the Good Beer Show. So we've got some links there. If you know of a good beer podcast, please let us know. And so we've got a lot coming up. We've got a lot of good music. We're going to tell you about some new musical things happening with us. We've got some more Leinenkugels to drink. We've got an interview with Lisa Morrison, the beer goddess of the really internet fame. She's all over the internet. She's a beer writer. She's a beer drinker. She's a beer brewer. She's a beer teacher. And she sees herself as a beer evangelist. And she's a good interview that we're sure you will enjoy. So why don't we pop open our next beer and listen. I'm going to play, got a little bit of a different selection. I'm going to play a little cut from the Texas Music Group, txmusicgroup.com, Gary Pramich and Mr. Lucky. Mr. Lucky. It's kind of a nice bluesy tune with a little bit of jazz overtones, and Gary is a world-class harmonica player as well.
And during the break, we poured the Leinenkugel's Red lager. So I think that we both kind of agree that this is a better tasting beer than the Honey Weiss. Yep. It's got a little more character to it.
Definitely a hop flavor. The other one, the Honey Weiss, it was a good everyday drinker. Probably good in summer or something like that. But this one is this is one I've had, the Liney Red, in the better airports, airport bars. I've unfortunately, that's where I get most of my Leinenkugel. We have a Northwest Hub in Minneapolis, and there you go. It's all over the bars there. And This is really good. It's a good beer.
It's widely available up in Wisconsin, too.
Yeah.
So, anyway, what they say about this is they say our family's better red. Brewed since 1993 with five barley malts, two of which are especially roasted, and Cluster and Mount Hood hops for a smooth, hearty, robust taste no other red can match. They won a bunch of awards and available year-round. The malts are three pale, Carapils, and two specially roasted caramel malts.
Yeah.
Hops, Cluster, and Mount Hood, 4.9% alcohol by volume, and served chilled at 48 degrees.
Good beer.
Yeah, I agree. This is actually a more flavorful beer than the Honeyweiss. So.
And one of the things I was reading up online in Google and just seeing what else was out there is apparently, and maybe this is because they belong to a bigger brewery now, they're concerned about their advertising. And it's an article from the Beer Man, Jim Lundstrom, and he's writing this article about Leinenkugel and the packaging. And apparently that was something that the way it looked was something that everybody identified with. This Leinenkugel in 1998, they redesigned it in yellow and gold. That seemed anemic compared to the past designs. Well, the new packaging is back, and it's back to looking like it used to look before. So Leinenkugel themselves said, we discovered that we needed a fresh look within the segment it competes in, which is mainstream beer. Okay, so what would you say? I mean, if you got to advertise, you got to worry about what color your label is. Well,
you're sort of above the craft beer industry.
Yeah, you kind of left, but you know, he's being upfront about it. He says the segment we're in, mainstream beer. So you know, sorry, you got to compete like that, and the people don't know your beer is better than them just simply because they had it. But you know, that's what you got to do. And apparently, they found a brewery. The brewery hired a design firm that knows and understands the company. Okay. And then we read further on and found out that a 20-something designer on the team spoke up and suggested the beers needed a look that would appeal to new and younger drinkers. Well, that would be illegal in Tennessee for us giving the kid a beer. So, I mean, I personally am shocked that 20-year-olds are out there drinking beer before their 21st birthday, but I'll have to get over it.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I didn't.
So, apparently, basically, they got their fresh new look from a kid who's not old enough to drink the beer yet, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's probably, you know, he's only been drinking for what, like about 6 or 7 years by now, probably. Yeah.
Well, we talked to Joe Galea, he started drinking at 5.
Yeah, that's right. Our friend, of course, they do them young in Australia. So what's our next beer here? What are we going to try, this light?
Yeah, I don't expect much out of this one because it's just going to be an amber light.
Okay, so it's a light beer, so we're not expecting a whole lot. We've already got a negative attitude towards it.
Not negative attitude. I know that the next one is very good. It's a dark. Well, we'll talk about the next one when the next one comes.
But it's a light beer, so it's got negative connotations already, right? It's a light beer, which we don't hold with that sort of thing anyway. I warmed up. My warm-up beer was, I believe you referred to as something similar to rat urine.
Yes.
But it was one that Kenny's dad delivered to us.
By request. And he had to go looking for it. It was
Yeah. But it was good. It was okay. You know, it was, again, it was in a can, and it's me and that metallic taste that I get. So, okay, so we're going to try the...
So let me read all about the Amber Light. It was introduced in 2002, and it's this new craft brewed gold medal winner of 2003 Great American Beer Festival. It can't be that bad, then. In the American-style light amber lager category. It is very different from the norm with its deep amber color. With only 110 calories, this light beer brewed with two-row pale malts and Cluster and Cascade hops delivers all the flavor you've come to expect from Leinenkugels.
Okay.
One taste and you'll see a new shade of light.
Okay, now you're reading the advertising.
Yeah. Okay, it's available year-round. 2- and 6-row pale malt, caramel, and Munich.
Okay, so it has 6-row in there.
Yeah, that's unusual.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
That's a low enzyme malt, which I don't know.
Yeah, they don't. You don't really find that a lot. Okay, all right. Well, okay. This is I've got some of it in the glass. I wouldn't exactly call it amber, but it's not a, a busy yellow water beer.
Alcohol is 4.1%, so slightly lower than the others.
Yeah, but it's 4.1, so that's good.
A few less calories.
Yeah. So I'm trying it. I don't have a problem with it. It's light in all, you know, all things considered. It's light in taste. It's a drinkable beer. I'd drink it. I'd drink a couple. I wouldn't have a problem with it. And but as far as light beer, I think this definitely has a little more taste than your off the shelf Bud Lights, Miller Lights.
Definitely. And but more color.
I mean. But it's not quite the same as, you know, your better beers. It was just not. It's light beer. What are you going to do? So the other thing, we were talking about advertisements. You handed me this article about beer advertisements. This is from London. Beer advertisements become the first to fall foul of rules banning links between alcohol and sexual success.
You know, there's that poster that it's like beer helping ugly people get laid since.
Yeah, that's right.
Whenever. It's a great poster.
Yeah, well, you know, and don't forget the country songs. All the girls look prettier at closing time.
That's right.
That's right. And
and one of our logos is the beer goggles.
That's right. Put your beer goggles on. But this is about Young's beer, which we've had their double chocolate stout. The Young's Bitter billboard poster featured a man with a ram's head, the brewery symbol, standing by a swimming pool surrounded by attentive women in bikinis. The Advertising Standards Authority said the poster in a second Young's advertisement should be withdrawn. The other poster depicted the same guy dressed in a suit in a gentleman's club. Both featured the slogan, "This is a Ram's World." One complainant argued the advertisements depicted the ram as the center of attention and therefore implied social and sexual success and enhanced attractiveness.
Yeah, that's advertising. On. Sex sells. It's been going on since advertising was
But it's
started.
A guy with a ram head. I mean, what's the sex part about it? Unless the women were naked.
The British are really going after binge drinking, and they're trying to.
Yeah,
to stop.
I think that's just we're just going to go and go after this beer company because they're a beer company, right? Not folks, because it's like it's not sex,
folks. This is why we had a revolution, so we can get rid of this oppression. We don't need this type of stuff.
It says Young's argued that the idea of a ram in the depicted situation was so preposterous that it made the scenarios unreal. It's a guy on a ram's head. Come on. I mean, good Lord. You know, turn on MTV. I mean, come on.
Maybe there's something to do with being with the beast. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but he's got to stand in there, right? He's standing there with attentive women. So, whatever. Suck it up. So, all right. We're winding down on our light beer, our amber light. Not a bad beer. Okay. Good enough. And what's our number? Four beer coming up that we're going to have.
Oh, well, that's going to be the – hold on.
Oh, take your time. We're going to be getting into our next beer, which is the Creamy Dark.
The Creamy Dark Lager.
Sweet.
And
okay.
This one I like.
Well, I tell you what. Let's take a musical break and listen to another artiste from the Texas Music Group. And this guy, he's been around for a while. James Cotton, hopefully you've heard of him. If not, you're about to. James is a traditional blues artist. He's got a wailing kind of voice. I think you're going to really enjoy this. It starts off a little slow, gets a little bluesy. Excellent dark or light beer drinking music. So enjoy some James Cotton. We'll be right back.
To see you wanna be left on your own. You must have somebody new to make me go through black night. What used to be,
say my face would smile. And talk to me. Your love for me was just like a child. Now you've gotten in some kind of day. Little girl, you change your ways black night.
During the break, this is how you know you're doing a beer podcast. I picked up my glass and I said, "What am I drinking?
What was that one? Okay.
What did I just drink?" So that's your beer show for you. So we're now tapping beer number four from Lina Kugel.
This is the Creamy Dark, and this one I like. I've had this before. It's available year round and aged slowly. Winner of 6 awards in American Dark Lagers. Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, is that unique or not? It's a dark lager, not an ale.
It might be.
It's not a stout. Is it? What does it say? What it's classified as? A bock beer.
Box are dark.
Okay, so they're well. Regardless, it's a lagered beer, which we believe all of these, the Line and Kugels that we've had so far, have been lagered beers.
I believe so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. None has specifically said it was an ale. It has the full, deep blackish brown color of a stout without its bitterness, and I agree with that.
I do.
Don't let the color fool you. Again, don't stay away from dark beers. Mm-hmm. You should try them just to see. This is a tasty, smooth brew with a nutty, crisp finish, handcrafted since 2000 from a rich blend of 6 malts and Cascade, Cluster, and Malthood hops.
Mm-hmm.
So the malts are Munich, chocolate, wheat, and 3 pale malts.
These are, and that is a very accurate description of the beer. It's got a nice, roasty flavor. Not a lot of coffee, more roast.
Yeah.
But it is a good drinking dark beer. This is very good.
I can taste the chocolate.
Yeah.
Which
I got a little bit of chocolate. Yep.
Chocolate malts.
Yep.
So the alcohol content, we're back to 4.9%. So none of these are too strong.
No.
Not like
not
barley
at all.
Wines. And
well, and that's why, should we ever get them being sold here, we could buy them in the store. So it's
yes,
good stuff.
That's true.
Very good flavor. We like the creamy dark.
Well, to explain that, in Tennessee, if you want to buy a high alcohol content beer, you have to go to the liquor store.
Right.
Otherwise,
6%, right?
Yeah, it's 6%, I think is the rule.
Yeah, 6%, you're in the liquor store. So what else we got going on here? You're going to tell us about some...
Last night I was channel surfing. And it's a channel I never look at, Country Music Channel.
Yeah.
Country Music
Television. Which people would be shocked to see that people from Tennessee don't necessarily watch or listen to country music.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Tennessee's got 3 stars,
yep.
And that indicates the 3 different regions. You've got the Mississippi Delta region, mm-hmm. which is where we're at, the Memphis area.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Nashville area, and then you have the Knoxville area.
Right. And we're the
eastern.
It's like
3 different states.
Eastern Tennessee.
So if you look at the Tennessee flag, that's a little tidbit of information for you. Anyway, so I paused on it, and it had American Revolution's Southern Rock.
Yeah.
I started watching for a little bit, and then I went back to the show I was really watching. But it's a 90-minute documentary. It explores the roots and legacy of Southern rock. And it was just fascinating. I can't wait till it comes back on so I can record it and watch it.
Well, and this is, you know, we're of course, Memphis, which I just realized I am compass challenged, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. We're West Tennessee.
West, right. Where
okay. Yeah.
Far west.
Yeah. Of course, and I know it doesn't matter which direction you're facing, right? Okay. but Southern rock has long been a part of the Southern heritage. You've got your Skinnards, your Molly Hatchet, Blackfoot, all of those guys, which is funny. They had aside from your deal, Blackfoot and Molly Hatchet were here this past week. And back in the day, the big Southern rockers, you know, arena rock and stuff like that, apparently they've fallen on harder times. They were playing the DeSoto Civic Center in beautiful South Haven, Mississippi, and they did an exhibition hockey game at the local hockey rink. I don't know how much of that is a lie or not, but some of the radio guys have been talking about that for days.
We love South Haven. We love
the
DeSoto.
Do. Of course, yeah.
Anyway, so the show features the Allman Brothers Band, Lynyrd Skynyrd, the Marshall Tucker Band, Whit Willie, Charlie Daniels, and other artists.
Yeah. That's some beer-drinking music there.
Yeah, and it says these bands took what British rockers like the Rolling Stones and Cream had gleaned from Southern music and brought it back home with authenticity and authority. Classics like Whipping Post,
mm-hmm.
Ramblin' Man,
right.
Free Bird,
right.
Sweet Home Alabama.
Yep. And everything you're reading here is a blues-based rock.
So don't stay away from the country music television.
Yeah.
Because they got this show on there.
Yeah, that's good stuff. All right, before we get too far along, we have to do our interview with Lisa Morrison. So we
did the beer goddess.
The beer goddess, the official beer goddess. She owns the domain. So she is the one and only beer goddess.
For you Memphis folks who get down to the Flying Saucer, there's a girl there who... Well, she's a beer goddess,
she
but
is,
she's not the beer
that's
goddess.
That's right. She's a beer goddess. So Lisa Morrison is a journalist. She's a beer evangelist. She, as we referred to her in the intro to the show, we came across her on a podcast from our friends at podbeer.com. And we wanted to invite her onto our show to talk a little more about beer and things. And so let's give a listen to the interview we just had with Lisa Morrison, the beer goddess.
Okay.
All right. So Lisa, I know who you are, but Rick doesn't. Actually, I looked you up. You're all over the internet. I don't know if you knew that.
When, that's a scary
thought. You didn't feel yourself being Googled earlier today, did you?
I felt some kind of strange little rush.
That was me. That was me. I was Googling you.
For a couple of seconds.
Yeah, I apologize to your husband in advance.
It was fun, actually.
All right. Well, good. One of the things, though, that I came in, Rick said, well, I only know what you told me. So if someone were to describe you, what would you say it is that you do?
For some bizarre reason, my nickname is the Beer Goddess. Mm-hmm. But I actually think of myself more of a beer evangelical type person.
Okay.
So I'm a beer evangelist, I guess.
Good for you.
I like to just spread the good beer word.
All right.
So you're out there proselytizing then.
Yeah,
making converts.
Yeah, be careful how you say that big word there.
Making converts.
Proselytizing. Okay. Obviously,
spell it.
Yeah, Rick has not had enough beer yet. He won't be able to say that in about an hour.
No, I won't. Yeah. And it was a stretch for me to even pull that.
I think he got a word of the day calendar for yeah, so he's doing that every day. I'm kidding. Well, Lisa, I know that you write about beer. You brew beer too, right?
I do, yeah.
And you cook with beer. And I told him about one of the recipes I found on one of the many websites that apparently mentions you about the Chimay clams,
Chimay. That was probably on beercook.com.
Yes, yes.
Saunders' website, yeah.
Right, and that just sounded great. And we do a little bit of beer cooking here. On our earlier shows, we haven't really done a lot of cooking lately because it's winter here in Memphis. And we do a lot of... Yeah, well, I think it's winter all year round in Portland, though, isn't it?
No, that's okay. Just a nasty rumor.
Well, we do a lot of smoking and grilling, and I noticed that was also part of the focus on the beer cook. And So you do just a little bit of everything, and you write for a number of beer publications.
I do indeed. Yeah. And one other thing that I do that you might not have found in your Googling is. I teach beer appreciation classes for women in Portland.
You mean, was it Suds Sisters?
Suds Sisters, yes.
Okay. Hey, listen, when I Google, I don't fool around.
Yeah, you're a good Googler.
I did. I noticed that, and I told Rick, because we have been a number of times on a number of shows, we have referred to the show we've yet to do, the Chick Beer Show, which you would be the opposite. Because when I say that, that's a compliment, because you understand beer and know beer. When we say chick beer, we mean things that we can fool people with or fool women with.
The sweet beers and things like that.
Yeah. But your Sud Sisters is designed to dispel that myth that it has to be fruity and girly.
Indeed. What I'm trying to do is help women not really better their palate, but just get to learn their palate better.
Right.
So that they can really kind of set their own course of discovery for finding different beers that they want to try. So we go through about 10 beers in 2 hours, which is a nice little pace. And, we start light, and we move over into the darker things and the heavier things. And I just try to help them find some different flavors that they can then tell somebody, I know that I like beers that have a coffee flavor to them, or I know that I like beers that are fruity or whatever.
Right.
And that way they can then start kind of looking around and trying different ones that they might enjoy.
Now, the women that take this class with you, are they drawn to their class because maybe they had something different? And they think, oh, maybe there's more to these beers than Budweiser's or Corona's, or are they just looking for something different? Or do you find that they come from women who have just a general appreciation overall of learning more about cooking and wines and so forth?
Or are they in a relationship with somebody that likes craft beers, maybe?
It's all of the above, truly. Okay. there are, and the amazing thing also is I have had women that have just turned 21, and I've had women that are well into their 70s.
Yeah.
And everything in between. So there's a lot of women out there that are really interested in beer. I think that they just kind of get a little nervous about trying. There's so many different things to try, you know, and women can't drink as much as men. So, you know, if they're going to buy one pint, they want it to be something they know they like.
Yeah, well, you never met my sisters. They would take exception to that. But I noticed that you had a couple of things, and this was on, I forget which site it was, but it had a link to your tasting sheet.
Oh, yeah. That was the it's realbeer.com. They asked me a couple of years ago to do a Beer 101 type tasting.
That's right. It said Beer 101.
For American Beer Month.
Yes, and it had a PDF, so that's realbeer.com, the Beer 101 section. If we go there and search for Beer 101, we can find you. And I know the other thing I noticed, in addition to this really good, I thought, well, this is a pretty easy-to-use sheet to rate your beers, that anybody who was just interested in saying, well, how do I really like that beer could use this to kind of keep track. But I noticed one of the comments that you had was that a lot of women – found out that they liked Belgian style beers.
Yeah, there's a lot of different flavors there that I believe are really attractive to women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can get everywhere, anything from some really fruity type things. But some of them can be really spritzy, which reminds women of, you know, like champagne mm-hmm. or something like that. So Belgian beers are definitely beers that I think really appeal to women. The thing that I love the best in my class, though, is it seems like every single time I do this class, you know, these women pay ahead of time to be in the class. They've already paid for all their materials. They've already paid for everything. Oh. And we get to the first dark beer, and invariably, at least one woman will say, I don't want that. That's dark beer, and I just can't drink dark beer. I don't like dark beer at all. And I always say, well, you know, that's why we're here. Just, you know, you don't like it, we've got dump buckets, but just give it a sip, try it out. You know, there's no good beer or bad beer for anybody. Just you know, give it the old college try and see what happens. And they're always the ones that later on wind up loving some, mm-hmm. you know, chocolatey stout or some coffee porter flavors or something like that. So it's really an eye-opener for them.
Yeah, and don't be afraid of the dark. Don't be afraid of the dark, right?
Look to the dark side.
Yeah. Well, you know, we thought, and that was actually one of our favorite brewers is from your part of the woods, Rogue. And one of the beers that we reviewed a while back was the hazelnut the brown ale. And we thought, wow, this is a perfect beer for, really anyway. We liked it because it's like a dessert beer. But, you know, for the females who are, just like you said, oh, I don't like dark beer. Because somewhere they had something bad, which I don't know what it was. Maybe it's just the color or something. But, I've tried this on several people, coworkers, and said, here, try this. And they go, wow, this is pretty good. And it's just not what you'd expect. And I don't know where, you know, people get this bias against the color.
I've been trying to figure that out, too, because there's so many good stouts and porters and dark beers out there that are actually, you know, sweet and accommodating and inviting. And I don't know where this strange disconnect came from with women especially. And I don't like dark beer because it tastes icky or bitter or something.
Well, I just wonder if
I could probably make a lot of money.
I just wonder if people who get their first dark beer experience maybe are having like Guinness or something.
Yeah,
and it's just such a dramatic change from a Budweiser.
You know, I think maybe that might have something to do with it. It's kind of a drier, a little bit more of a bitter type flavor.
A lot of hops.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where it comes from.
And it's just like anything else, though, of course. But you hit the nail on the head. You got to try it, you know, and you're not going to know. You can't judge a beer by its color. You can't judge it by its label. You have to literally try it.
So does the teacher
– darn the luck, huh?
Does the teacher drink for free? Onis, does a teacher drink for free in your seminars?
Of course.
All right. That's the way to do it. Well,
actually, the teacher gets paid to drink.
Oh, even better.
Even better.
So what's new with you these days? We know you're working on a podcast deal, or at least you were when you were talking to our friends at Podbear. Did you publish that?
Yes, is that? Yes, that one's been published.
Yeah.
And that was for the New Brewer magazine.
That's great.
Which is kind of a trade publication through the Brewers Association. I believe it might be the one that's out right now, actually.
Ah, okay. Well, we'll have to look for that. One of the things, we have been on iTunes since, what, it's been...
July or so.
Yeah. And when we first started, this is what we've noticed, not just, I mean, podcasts in general, taking off. But when you go to the food section, which is where they keep the beer podcast in iTunes, that the number of just food, if you do a search for beer, there's hundreds of them now.
I think it's kind of a nice match with the craft beer industry.
Yeah, oh yeah, because that's been growing too.
A lot of home brewers, mm-hmm. and this is something. I mean, you're doing it in your basement, you know.
Yeah.
So in fact, you're doing it where you ferment.
Yeah, exactly.
So, what a perfect tie-in, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of neat that there's this really nice symbiotic relationship between the podcast, the kind of do-it-yourself type stuff,
yeah,
and the craft beer movement.
Well, we speak to a lot of the podcasters and try to keep in touch because we have, you know, there's some of us that have been out there for a little longer than others. Some come, some go, but we try and keep up. And
well, we're fans of theirs.
Yeah,
also.
Exactly. I mean, we listen to their show, they listen to us, and we kind of trade out. And I guess, you know, since you've done this research, you've talked to some people, what do you see from, I guess, if you were to look into the future, podcast and beers and the convergence of where it is, where do you see that and this, what I would say is more of an awareness of what's going on, or at least to a degree, there's more awareness of what's going on in terms of beer and the different things, you know, that you're not tied down to what you find in your shopping cart. Do you see the industry itself being affected by it and maybe us getting a little more range, maybe something nicer out of the bigger brewers?
I think so. You know, television, any other of the types of traditional media are pretty expensive to produce. Mm. And podcasting is something that is relatively inexpensive and can reach a good number of people. So, you know, perhaps somebody who was listening to you when you were reviewing the Rogue Hazelnut beer had never even heard about that before and might go try to pursue that then. And I just think that it's a really great way to kind of have a grassroots level impact on what's going on in our beer industry.
Yeah, well,
as it continues. I see it. Blossoming, actually.
Yeah, and that's what we'd like to see. I mean, our big fuss that we have is that there's, well, regionally, microbrews, you've got a reach. Until you get to a certain size, like a Rogue or like a Sierra Nevada, you're just not going to be able to reach all these people. So it's good to find out about it, and then if you network like we do with people, oh, you're going to Wisconsin. Hey, would you mind finding me some of this beer that I've heard of? And we're fortunate.
That's what I call the beer underground.
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
and
right.
We are fortunate to know people who work at FedEx, and we get to travel a lot. And so on some of the things, what I think we do that no other podcast does in relating to beer, we review brew pubs in other places and try and point out, oh, this is really good at this place or another. And we hit pubs all over the U.S. So that's a different.
Fun.
Yeah, it is. And it's also, that's like an even smaller niche than the microbrews. It's one thing if you can get your Goose Island in about 8 states, except for here. But if you want to go to the Broad Ripple Brewery and sample their beer in Indianapolis, you have to go to Indianapolis. You can't go anywhere else. And so that's where the fascination for us is the hunt for the beer. And I was somebody says, what's the best beer you've ever had? And I said, the best beer I've ever had is the one I'm going to have next.
Yeah, that's what I always say, too.
Well, Lisa.
Anticipation.
Yeah.
One little bit extra.
Well, Lisa, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, and I know we got lots more we could talk about, and hopefully you'll let us call you back.
Oh, I'd love that. That would be great. Thanks so much for asking me on. This was a lot of fun.
Well, Lisa, thanks a lot for talking to us, and be sure to listen to the show so you can hear yourself.
Thank you so much, and
okay.
Good luck with what you're doing. I look forward to hearing from you guys more in the future.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye-bye. What'd you think?
Oh, she's wonderful. Yeah. She's professional, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to talk to women who know beer and appreciate beer, and especially those who, as she put it, gets paid to drink beer. That's
right.
Enviable, women or men.
You got to respect that.
And when I say it's nice to talk to somebody like that, because as we saw when we stopped into the Flying Saucer this past weekend, the girls coming up to the bar. Remember? Say,
that's right.
What
there
do
was
you,
a pack of girls.
So what do you got?
Dressed to the nines. They were looking good.
Well.
They had no idea about. They ordered a margarita.
They ordered a margarita, and the beer, the a beer goddess,
Kate.
Says, "We're a beer bar. See the 100 taps here on the wall.
Yeah, you've got 150 beers you can select, and you order a margarita.
Yeah,
what
so,
are you thinking?
So she didn't know, and she said, "Well, what's what? I forget. I didn't quite hear what she said, but it's something like, well, what's doesn't taste like beer or something like that." So she poured her a little sample of a lambic, the framboise.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you immediately volunteered to tell them all about the framboise.
Yeah,
and.
It happens to be one of my favorite beers.
Yeah. So they were fascinated with you for a few seconds there.
Yeah.
And you still got it, Rick.
Right.
But they got their framboise, and it's like, I think just the color alone excited them because it was in served in a champagne flute.
That was a great offsite that we did. And why were we there?
We were there to talk to one of my friends that I have not seen in a long time, who is a Memphis institution, if I can call her that. She's referred to as the Queen of Country in Memphis. And this is Nancy Apple. We're going to give a listen to her. And this is from her, I believe this is her newest or next to newest album.
Well, before we go out, we're drinking an apple beer. So, your friend Nancy Apple, and we're kind of drinking the Lemon Cools Apple Spice.
Well, now see, this is where again the beer podcast. I forgot what the hell we were doing.
Nice segue.
Oh man,
well, it's not necessarily.
Wait, no, that was good. That was good. We should record that.
We should.
Okay, our last liney.
Yeah,
is.
And what do you think?
It's an apple spice beer.
It's an apple spice. It tastes like apples and cinnamon.
Okay, this is the one that I read about where people were all prepared to hate it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that to beer. You don't make it taste like apple. That's apple cider, right?
Well, I saw it on the shelves, and I had to get it.
Well, yeah, and then plus it came with that Liney Lodge pack. And,
no, it didn't.
Did I not?
Bought this
you just picked it? Okay. Well, what I was saying was what I read was everybody's prepared to hate it. It smells like an orchard. It tastes great. And it's a good beer. I'm enjoying it immensely.
It says they use a ton of apples in every brew. It's not an exaggeration. We use over
2,000
pounds of apple. Yeah,
sweet.
In every brew. So they go on to all say right. What 2,000 apples are.
Well, so as you said, speaking of apples, this is Nancy Apple. This is her song This Time Around from her album Shoulda Lied About That. And give a listen. We'll be right back.
Heard hard to earn it, yeah. still I stand tall, and I stand my ground. Yeah, you build me up just to tear me down, but I won't fall this time around. You build me up just to watch me fall, but I won't fall this time around.
Show.
That's right. And Nancy was going to join us tonight, but she's under the weather a little bit. And I guess we need to tell about what we're talking about. In the past shows that you've heard, we've gone and gathered a lot of music from a lot of places and brought them in. But
They mostly felt like Memphis. They had kind of a southern blues.
Yeah. Kind of pretty much a theme. And then as you were pointing out in the country music television show that you watch, there's a feel to southern rock, and Memphis embraces all forms. We don't consider ourselves a country music town, yet we have many country music people.
And we're only 3 hours from Nashville.
That's right, but it's a world apart. We are the home of the blues. We're the home of rock and roll, not Cleveland.
Rockabilly,
blues, soul, you name it, we got it. And so we decided, you know, we talk about beer, we talk about barbecue, and we talk about blues, and we talk about Memphis barbecue all the time. So we need to start focusing on Memphis music here. I mean, it's a wealth of musical heritage, and we're real excited about having Nancy join us. Nancy is going to be hopefully joining us next week for the podcast, maybe, if we're lucky, do a little live music.
Rick, she's offered to write us a jingle.
Yep. Yeah, right there. But Nancy has been around for a long time. She also has a record label called Ringo Records. You can find her at nancyapple.com or ringorecords.com, I believe. Nancy's very talented. She plays drums, guitar, harmonica, dabbles on the accordion, and it doesn't list bass guitar, but I know she plays that as well because I saw her.
We saw her.
Sunday. We went to a songwriters session at
Dan McGinnis
Pub downtown, right around the corner from Beale Street. And Nancy and some of her songwriter friends were there, and boy, that was a good time.
It was
very engaging. They passed the mic around. They trade instruments up.
We got to eat. We got to visit.
Yeah, it's really nice.
We got to drink beers.
Yeah, so it was a good time. And if you're in Memphis, it's definitely something to get into. But Nancy is also very diverse musically. She is very knowledgeable. She hosts a radio show on WEVL, Weevil. It's like cotton. That's a Memphis thing, boll weevil, which actually you can hear on the internet too. Go to weevil.org, WEVL, and they do a live stream. But she's been hosting this since 1996. She is constantly nominated for awards. She sang with a wealth of people. I think this is her fifth album she's got coming out. And so we're really excited to have Nancy and some of her stable of stars from Ringo Records. And hopefully you're going to see in this coming year a lot more guests, live guests, music, original music, Memphis music, and just kind of bring the culture of the place where we live.
Hopefully it'll be an onion and we can start to peel it, or a flower, you know, that'll blossom.
Yeah, and just kind of get a little deeper into it. And, so as you might have noticed, Nancy has a little different style. And we're going to be featuring those all kinds of different types of music. Nancy's style is a little different from some of the blues things, but so you're going to hear some we're going to get into our country roots. We're going to get into our rock roots, our rockabilly roots. We're going to get into just a little bit of everything. Looking forward to having that.
One last bit of news for the show. I heard this on the local radio station. And some guy, State Senator Bill Alter, Republican from High Ridge. I don't know what state he's out of. It looks
now,
like
where is it?
I think it's St. Louis. I'm not sure.
Missouri?
It says STL Today is the source for that I'm reading.
Okay, St. Louis, maybe. All right. So,
could be.
So what's Bill got to say?
He wants to sell warm beer.
Yeah, the bastard.
He thinks we shouldn't sell cold beer because that just kind of well, I don't know what he's thinking. He's thinking crazy things. But
is he like a beer connoisseur?
No, he's probably doesn't drink at all, if you ask me.
Hmm.
Let me read a bit. It says, after introduced last week, it's a state bill, which would prohibit grocery and convenience stores from selling individually packaged or refrigerated beer. Under the bill, stores would lose their liquor license if they sold beer colder than 60 degrees.
Well, what the hell? I mean, is it to drive down consumption of beer?
I think it's probably aimed at cutting out drinking and driving, the folks who are stopping and grabbing a 40 on the way home.
Jeez. Well, okay, I can see that. But, of course, then it's easier to hold a warm 40 between your legs while you're driving than a cold one.
Well, I guess it is. Maybe it's less rewarding. I don't know. But,
yeah. You know, the people who are drinking and driving, they're not going after beer to enjoy it for its characteristics and things like that.
I think they're trying to get hammered.
They want to get tore up. So, yeah, well, Bill, good luck with that. I'm pretty sure that isn't going to happen.
Write this guy. Let him know what you think.
Yeah, you and the Ramhead guy.
Become a political activist here.
That's right. So I guess we're going to wrap it up. This has been kind of a long one, but a lot of good stuff, a lot of interesting things. And this year, you know, we'll get our other out-of-order show, 22.
The new equipment's working great, Dick.
So working good.
Thank you for investing into that.
I think we're going to be – and I got the call-in to the accountant to get the official word about deducting
the cost
beer drinking.
All right.
That's our goal. That's the whole motivation behind this. We put in all this time. And so hopefully by next week we'll have the official word.
So we can have a tax break.
Yeah, that we're going to deduct beer from our taxes. That's the whole reason even just to listen to this podcast. How does it come out? So, all right, well, let's call it a show. And thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye. Drive safe.